Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, May 30th, 2015, and this is show number 9.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is back on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. I want to talk to you today about what I call the American build of Jesus, a false Christ that cannot save you. You know, when my daughters were little, they used to love to go to a toy store called Build-A-Bear. What made it so fun for them is that they could create a bear completely out of their imagination, a blue bear or a red bear or even a polka dot bear, a bear with no mouth and three eyes or three ears and no nose, etc. They were fake bears. They were figments of their imagination. It was fun for them. But what's all too serious in the day and age in which we live is that we have created here in the United States of America, and sadly it's corrupted the entire world, we created a build-a-Jesus, a Jesus that is not at all from the Bible, but rather a product of the imagination. Today I want to begin by quoting from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. It admonishes us to prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. I want to ask you the question right at the outset here. Are you a doer of the word of God? Is the word of God paramount in your life, O professing Christian? When you run into something in the word of God that requires an adjustment on your part, are you glad to do it because you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Or are you, as the scripture says, merely a hearer of the word, deluding yourself? You know, the Bible talks about this kind of an attitude, those who profess to know God but actually do not. All the way back in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it this way in chapter 30, verse 9 and 10. He said, "This is a rebellious people, false sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord." That word refuse, it means literally they're not willing to listen to the instruction of the Lord, literally the law of the Lord, literally the word of God. It's a rebellious people, false sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the prophets, "You must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusion." Isn't that amazing that people would literally instruct the men and women with the word of God to reject that stuff? Tell us what we want to hear. Prophesy illusion. In the New Testament, it puts it this way. I'm quoting now from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm going to put that, I'm just going to continue to read right on through 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. It says the following, "But the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "explicitly says that in the later times," these times in which we're living right now, "that some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." Did you know that there are literal doctrines of demons at work in the church today? "For the time will come," the scripture goes on, "when they will not endure sound doctrine." Who are we talking about? We're talking about church people. We're talking about churchgoers. We're talking about pastors and elders and worship leaders. "The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Isn't that incredible? Mythology in the church. Did you hear? They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. My goodness, it's happening today before our very eyes. We've had mega churches sprout up all over the United States of America. How have they been built? Through surveys. They've canvassed the communities, asking people, hey, what do you want in a church? What do you want us to tell you? They accumulate teachers in accordance with their own desires, and as a result, they turn away from the truth, and they've turned aside to myths. You know, I wanted to just make note of a few myths here today. The first myth in the church is that a faith without works can save you. That's right, you heard me correctly, that a faith without works can save you. Let me just read from James chapter 2. Be reminded, I'm in the Bible here, and I sure hope you've got a Bible in one hand and a notebook in the other. But James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, I'm just going to pull out some highlights here. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Please listen to me carefully. It is absolutely true that works do not save us. But it is absolutely equally true that a faith without works cannot save you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. You know, another myth in the church is that somehow the grace of God is a license to sin, that somehow the fact that God's grace has been offered to all men, that somehow that leaves us with an excuse to do what we want and to live how we want. Jude chapter 4 speaks to this, or rather verse 4, Jude's only got one chapter, says this, for certain men, or for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I love the way the Apostle Paul speaks to this issue. In other words, the Apostle of grace says this, Romans 6, verse 12 and following, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. You know, other myths that are very visible in the apostate church today, myths that are a part of the American build of Jesus, include the Jesus that is the Savior without being the Lord, the Jesus who is love only without wrath, the Jesus who talks about mercy without judgment, the Jesus who presents a heaven without talking about hell. I'm telling you, this American build of Jesus is someone that simply wants everybody to be healthy, happy, and wealthy. This American build of Jesus never talks about sin, and he certainly never condemns. He doesn't talk about hell. He doesn't talk about the lake of fire or eternal separation from God for those who do not know him. The American build of Jesus is a wide road Jesus. In fact, as I've mentioned, this American Jesus is a figment of the imagination. It is the delusion of delusional people that are certain that they are not deceived. You know, I've thought an awful lot about this over the years, this question that we're talking about, who do these things apply to? These people that Jesus said many think they're saved, but are not. These people who declare to the prophet, don't speak to us pleasant words. I mean, don't speak to us what is right. Don't tell us the truth. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusion. You know, tragically, the vast majority of these people, you find them in the church. They are church people. Hear me well here. They are people defined by the following. They want religion without the relationship that Jesus requires to be saved. I ask you to meditate on that. I ask you to ponder that. Let me say it again. These people, they want religion without the relationship that Jesus requires to be saved. You see, you'll find them in church every Sunday. They're pastors, they're preachers, elders, deacons, ushers, greeters. They tithe, they serve in the nursery. But really, this American build a Jesus that they serve, nothing more than an idol. They take it out of the closet on Sunday, put it back in the closet the rest of the week. You see, this American build a Jesus is a false god of sacrifice only. In other words, it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it's completely corrupt. You know, the Old Testament prophet Amos spoke to this in chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He said of these people, even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I won't accept them. In other words, even though you go to church, you lift your hands and you praise me, I don't accept it. I'll not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I'll not even listen to the sound of your harps. Isaiah 1, verse 13 and 15, put it this way. Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Keep in mind, this is God speaking to a people who profess to know God in name only. They are religious well enough, but they do not know him. Bring your worthless offerings no longer. I hate your new moon festivals. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, oh dear God, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered in blood. And I can hear someone saying, but Pastor Brad, that's the Old Testament. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. We're under the new covenant now. Yeah, it's true that we are. So what did Jesus have to say about this predicament, about dilemma, about this reality of people serving the Lord on the outside, but inwardly they do not know him? Well, ironically, in Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, thus concluding that what applied then is equally applicable now. Jesus says, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Oh, dear listener, please understand that Jesus teaches that worship can be worthless, that prayers can be meaningless if the inside does not match the outside. Be reminded that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. I love the way he described it in Hosea 6:6. God says, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. I want to tell you, dear listener, you can listen or you can live a lifestyle of sexual immorality, adultery, homosexuality, living together outside of marriage, pornography. Call yourself a Christian if you want to, but just know that the Bible says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you can live a lifestyle of slander and gossip. You can spread rumors, spread strife all over the place, lie like a rug. Still call yourself a Christian if you want to, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus called those things an abomination, and he said that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you can live a lifestyle of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Be as the Bible says, irreconcilable. Still call yourself a Christian if you want to, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus says you're going to wind up in the lake of fire unless you repent. And you can go ahead and serve two masters and still call yourself a Christian if you want to. You can put money ahead of God. You can put your spouse first. You can put your family before Jesus if you want to. But Jesus says that if you do so, you cannot be my disciple. You could be like the President of the United States and call yourself a Christian on the one hand and revere Islam at the same time, which, by the way, is the exact and literal opposite of Christianity. But I would ask you the same question that Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 5:31. What are you going to do on Judgment Day? What are you going to do at the end of it. I'm telling you, you can deny Jesus and call yourself a Christian if you want to. You can be ashamed of his words and call yourself a Christian if you want to. In fact, I'm just curious. Let me pause here. What is the response to the words that you're hearing today? What is it about today's broadcast that is not of the written word of God? Is your response one that embraces what the word of God says and wants to grow closer to Jesus by being more conformed to his words? Or are you repelled by the words of the Bible? Are you ashamed of them? Are you afraid to represent the biblical Jesus to your friends and your neighbors and your family? You can deny him if you want to. You can be ashamed of him if you want to. And go ahead and call yourself a Christian if you so desire. Just be aware that the Jesus of the Bible says that if you deny him, he'll deny you. And if you're ashamed of his words, he will be ashamed of you. I'm telling you, you can go ahead and live in known, willful rebellion over time against what the Word of God says and still call yourself a Christian if you want to. But know that Jesus said of that very same person, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." You who practice lawlessness, you who acted as if Jesus gave you no law to follow, you who profess to know God, but by your deeds you deny him, you who claimed that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, but you disregarded his word. You know, I want to conclude today by reading a parable, and I want you to understand that this parable was a story taught by Jesus himself. These are the words of Jesus from Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. He said this: "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame.' And Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he's being comforted, and here you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you won't be able, and that none may cross over from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, that you send them to my father's house, for I've got five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' But he said, 'No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Did I say that those are the words, and that is the parable of Jesus? Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that a Build-A-Bear is not a real bear, any more than the American Build-A-Jesus is the real Jesus. The American Build-A-Jesus cannot save you any more than a Build-A-Bear could save you. Now, he can trick you. He can dupe you. He can delude and deceive you. He can make you think that you're saved, even though you're not. He can make you think that everything's okay, even when it isn't. He can even say to you, "Peace, peace," make you believe that everything is fine, even though there is no peace. I'm here to tell you, out of the greatest love that I can muster, that only the real Jesus can save you, and the real Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. And the Jesus of the Bible says this: "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Dear listener, the road to hell is marked heaven.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.